another marketing method that really worked well for us are pop-up stores. If you have the chance to do something offline and engage in real life with people, that's really powerful.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. So thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. A huge thank you to Bob from Yoast for introducing us to this brilliant guest. Thank you so much, Bob and the Yoast team. In this episode, we are going to be talking to a very content-focused, very mission-driven business who are all about more sustainable buying choices, but who have gone from kind of a magazine style into a kind of drop shipping slash marketplace site where they're promoting artisans' goods across Europe. When they went from their minimum viable product e-commerce option to their full-on e-commerce option, they did €500,000 in the first year, and they're currently growing at 30% year on year. So lots to learn from this one. Really interesting chat. And it's a business coming out of Italy, and we don't often get Italians on the show. So really nice to hear a little bit about what's going on over there as well. Now, before we meet our guest, I just want to tell you about a podcast that I've been enjoying recently. It's called Upflip. 80% of new businesses fail, and Upflip is on a mission to flip that script by connecting business owners and entrepreneurs with the knowledge they need, not just to survive, but to thrive. On the Upflip podcast, you'll hear interviews with real business owners who share the tried and true strategies and insights that have helped them turn their ideas into profitable businesses. So if you're looking for actionable, practical business advice, wider than just the e-commerce space, you will find it on the Upflip podcast. Right, here we go. Let's meet our guest, and please remember to listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips and my own take on this episode. If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it, you don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. Are you part of the free Chloe's e-commerce club? Why not? It's my free online club where the whole e-commerce master plan audience can come together. It's all about helping you improve your e-commerce business, solving your marketing challenges, getting advice from other retailers who are facing the same challenges as you right now. And yes, I will personally be hanging out in the club Monday to Friday to help you too, which makes it the only place where you can get my help one-on-one. It really is a club all about you and supporting your business. Come on and join me now. Just go to ecmp.info/club. It's totally free to join. So come on, join me and hundreds of our listeners at ecmp.info/club. And now to introduce our special guest. Costanza Tomba is a co-founder and CPO, that's Chief Product Officer, at Tadan, a brand founded in 2020 as a destination for craftsmanship, creativity, and sustainability. Selling contemporary craftsmanship across home, gifts, accessories, and jewellery. Their community is over 200,000 followers and a network of over 5,000 artisans across Europe who create the products. Tadan fully launched on Shopify in 2023 and in the first year achieved sales of over €500 and is currently growing at 30% every month. Hello, Costanza.
Hello, Chloe. Thank you for inviting me and giving me the possibility to talk about Sazen.
Brilliant to have you here, and congrats on building such an exciting and different e-commerce store.
Thank you so much. Indeed, we would like to call it content e-commerce because we started out as digital magazine first. The mission at the very beginning was to, well, test the interests of people around contemporary craftsmanship and destroy the stereotype of the old woodworker as an artisan. Because indeed, like, artisans now are cool, young, and most of the time females. Indeed, in the community, we have like around 80-90% of female artisans. And also, as Sazen, we are a female-founded startup. There's me and then Saria, Valeria and Roberta. And us together, we founded Sazen in 2020. Well, at the very beginning, as I said, is digital magazine, social media based. And therefore, for us, the biggest part of the community is on Instagram, on Real Sazen. And yeah, and then the e-commerce came a little bit after. And it was like the natural evolution for us. At the very beginning, yes, we were sharing the stories of creative people, showing their faces, but of course also showing the product they were doing. And with the community growing, more and more questions came on how much for that, where can I buy it, where do you sell it? And we noticed that the artisans, on the other hand, not always had the facilities, the possibility to sell it and maybe send it overseas. So we said, okay, maybe instead of being just a visibility platform from them and a support in the marketing side, we can help them on the selling part as well.
So the e-commerce wasn't at all part of the plan. You were going to create noise, create community, and then the community went, how do I sell? How do I buy? And then you had to add it into the mix.
Yeah, that's how it went. Of course, we kind of had it in mind. That was an option. But, you know, when you have to start with a new business, maybe starting with selling is a little bit too much. So at the beginning, we said, okay, let's test it out and then let's see.
Brilliant. And you're obviously selling the goods of 5,000 odd artisans. So does the site function as a marketplace where they hold on to the products and list their products? Or is it more that you're buying the products from them to then sell on to the consumer? Or is it almost like an art gallery concession model? How does the nuts and bolts of that work in a practical sense?
Okay, so nice question. I like it. So to be honest, the network counts 5,000 artisans, but on the e-commerce, we're currently selling 150 artisans product. And we're planning in this coming year, in 2024, by the end of 2024, to reach 500 artisans. But how it works is we are actually in e-commerce, but we don't have the stock of the products. So it's all drop shipping. But let's say artisans have a hard time most of the time to take care of all the communication and selling parts. So our promise for them is you craft, we take care of the rest. So we actually set up live all the products, create their artisan page, create the product pages, and, you know, maintain the e-commerce, promote it, and, you know, do the marketing. It's not really a marketplace because they don't have to create a profile and do take care of everything. So it's a little bit different from, for example, Etsy that you might know already. It's a hybrid.
Got you. But it's doing the best for everybody because it enables you to have great quality content on the website because you're in charge of the content creation. And it means the artisans can just get on with what they're good at and occasionally nip to the post office. So it works for everybody, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very cool. So do you think there's been any particular benefits from starting out with that magazine aim, the content aim, and then pivoting into e-commerce rather than going e-commerce from the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that gave us a big competitive advantage because we started out from something. So somehow, just if we were talking about some products, we were already testing the interest around that. So we kind of already had some data when we started out. And also we had the first years to get to know the artisans, their needs, how they were actually struggling with what they were actually struggling and where we could help. And also collaborating with them in content creation helped us get to know them for real. So not just an account you were following, but like really people we were speaking and talking with. And therefore, when we had to launch the first MVP of the e-commerce, it was pretty easy to onboard the first 20 people that really were friends at the end of the day. So I think starting from editorial project at the beginning really helped us out.
Cool. Well, we're going to get into that MVP, that minimum viable product, and the e-commerce launch process in a couple of minutes. But first off, you mentioned you've got four co-founders. How does that work with four opinions at the top of the table? How do you make that function? Because clearly it's functioning really well based on all you've managed to achieve. So how do you make that work?
So I have to say that we never had problems with being four people with different opinions. We were very aligned and, I mean, I think focused on the goal. I was pretty sure it could work. Because when we started, when the founding team met, I was already friends with two of them that were my university mates, so Valeria and Sara. And with them, I had done a lot of university projects. So they were not only friends, but people that I was sure I was able to work very well with. And then with Roberta, when we met each other, it was immediate connection and we never had problems. Maybe we will, I don't know, but I'm sure we will be able to manage.
Very cool. And you've clearly got different roles within the business as well. So, and you're expanding too. So what does the team look like now? How do you divide things up? Are you outsourcing anything? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So at the very beginning, as I said, we were four. And of course, we had to do a little bit of everything. Now we're 17 people in total, counting, let's say, three marketers that are outsourced. And then the other 14 that are in-house. And we have a big focus on the content production because, of course, of our background. It is key for us to tell the story of the artisans behind the products. And when it comes to craftsmanship, storytelling is really important because you have to transmit the value of the product that you are selling. And you have to make people understand why it's costing a little bit more than what you might expect, because right now we are used to fast produce items. So we don't really get the value. Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. So storytelling also has an educational mission, let's say. And it's very challenging, of course, but we made this as an asset. So a big part of the team is a very expert in the content creation. So we have graphic designers, photographers, video makers. So that's a big part for us.
And it really comes across on the website when you see that content element. And I guess that's one of the reasons you've got some quite phenomenal press coverage as well, is that focus on the content.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I must say that we started very recently working with a PR office. Before when we were mentioned, it was just because of us moving and doing stuff and, you know, also good chance. But I must say that maybe for them it's quite easy to work with us because we always have a lot of interesting things to say. But yeah, of course, we have a lot to learn from also other brands and other businesses that are doing this, that's for sure.
I can totally see that a PR agency would go, so we're going to need some, oh, you've got stories. Oh, amazing. You're kind of, you're almost like the dream client. Wow, there's almost too many stories. So I could totally get they'd love working with you. We mentioned that you're working with artisans across Europe. Where are you based and you and your team based, and where are you selling to at the moment?
Yeah, so the startup is based in Milano, but we like to consider ourselves like a European startup. And we are selling pretty much all around Europe. The biggest countries, the most interesting countries for us are Germany, France, Italy, Belgium. But also we do sell to UK and US, even though we are not targeting those countries quite yet. We're getting ready to go there.
Cool. And I said we'd get back to the e-commerce launch process because you didn't just go, yeah, this is going to be our site, let's put it live and go. You had kind of like a multi-stage process. There was the MVP, I think there was a crowdfunder at some point, and then you did the full launch in 2023. So can you talk us through how that launch went and why you decided to do it in the way you did, please?
Yeah, sure. So when we decided to actually pivot and not being just a magazine anymore and adding the e-commerce asset, we needed to see if it was a good way to do it. So we had to test so many things. We had so many doubts. Of course, we, as I said before, we had some data and we had some actual insight that could be the way, but we had to understand if it could work for real. So once again, the MVP helped us test the interest even more. And also we needed to know how much time we could have for onboarding one artisan on the platform. So how long does it take? What maybe can be the challenge in dealing with the artisan to put it on live? And then, of course, on the client's point of view, if they could be for real interested in buying the products and what the feedbacks could be. So we had so many questions. So we decided that the best way to test that out and answer the question was to actually create a minimum viable product of the actual website. So actually, we did it pretty fast, and we onboarded the first 20 artisans pretty soon, creating their own page and their products. If I see it right now, like if I go back, that was very ugly and wasn't really what we had in mind, but it really gave us good insights.
Yeah, and I can imagine with the style of selling you're doing, where you're creating all the content from the artisans, they're simply responsible for selling it, you're dealing with all the customer services, there's quite a lot of operational activity you're doing on behalf of the sellers. So not just to test is there demand there, but to test what does the onboarding process look like? How helpful are the artisans in the onboarding process or not? How much time, effort, money does that take? And therefore, what do the price points need to be at behind the scenes and in front of the scenes? There's a lot to test out before you go big and then realize that you're doing something at 10% that you should be doing at 20% and the whole thing is totally non-viable. So totally get why that MVP, even if it was a bit ugly, was necessary. Why then did you decide to crowdfund before going all out?
So knowing that in the e-commerce business, you really have to have a budget for marketing. So you need to put fuel into the machine to make it run. We had a community also back then pretty strong, but that wasn't enough for really kicking and go bigger. So that was very clear for us. And therefore, we had to do crowdfunding. It's a very, very cool way of fundraising, especially if you're dealing with B2C. So that's our experience. I think people actually are interested in the product, and therefore it was a pretty successful campaign for us. We reached the minimum target on the first days of the campaign, and that was simply great. Of course, wasn't easy, but I would suggest anyone to consider crowdfunding if you're doing B2C.
And were you doing a crowdfund for equity, crowdfund for money can't buy things, a crowdfund for buying product ahead of production? What was the model you chose?
The equity crowdfunding, yeah.
Excellent. So allowing the community to buy in and revel in your success.
Yeah, well, I have to say that pretty surprisingly, also artisans crowdfunded. Some of the artisans we started creating content with at the very beginning on the when we were just a magazine project, also supported the project. And that's something we're very proud of.
Excellent. And since the cash came in and the proper website got launched, obviously you've hired a PR firm. What other marketing methods, if you're willing to share, are you seeing as being key to the success of the e-commerce business?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So last year, we, of course, focused on performance marketing. As I said before, we are working closely with three guys that are helping us on that side. But apart from that, like what I really was happy about last year's work and that I would really suggest in terms of marketing tool is the email marketing. That's maybe not the biggest in terms of traffic volumes, but is definitely a killer for conversions. Obviously, that's not the only channel you should trust, but is a strong asset to work. And we built quite a good machine last year. We started with building some automatic flows that cover both pre-purchase phases and post-purchases. That work that we did and we tested so much last year is helping us a lot now. And of course, you have to retest and redo and go over and over again on that. But it's just amazing how efficient it is. I mean, you optimize it and then it goes on its own. And so that's for sure one of my favorites. Another marketing method that really worked well for us are pop-up stores. That's not an online tool. It's something offline and probably not the most scalable thing. But at the very beginning, I think it's a pretty strong one when people don't really know your brand. If you have the chance to do something offline and engage in real life with people, that's really powerful. So last year, we did open 4 pop-ups. One and the very first was in April on occasion of Milan Design Week. And that's what we are doing also this year. And also we did in the Christmas season, we opened 3 different pop-ups in 3 different cities in Europe. So we had Milan again, Paris and Munich in Germany. For us, pop-ups are also a very strong way and a very cool occasion to make people interact with artisans and, you know, assist in live show crafting or also being able to take part themselves in the creative process. So we also organized some workshops, for example. There are always to show your brand and make people remember. If you make them do something, they will surely remember and, you know, spread the word. And so in general, we notice how much physical events help amplifying other marketing activities. So in the months we are doing those, all the rest of the machine was working much more. So that's another one that I would suggest for sure.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform. And you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it? You don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. Are you part of the free Chloe's e-commerce club? Why not? It's my free online club where the whole e-commerce master plan audience can come together. It's all about helping you improve your e-commerce business, solving your marketing challenges, getting advice from other retailers who are facing the same challenges as you right now. And yes, I will personally be hanging out in the club Monday to Friday to help you too, which makes it the only place where you can get my help one-on-one. It really is a club all about you and supporting your business. Come on and join me now. Just go to ecmp.info/club. It's totally free to join. So come on, join me and hundreds of our listeners at ecmp.info/club.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Costanza, are you ready for the top tips? Yeah. Okay, cool. The book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Oh, so I really like this question. In fact, in the team, we are all passionate readers and we do have a book club. So on this one, I would suggest for sure Start With Why by Simon Sinek. If you aren't an eager reader, though, I would say that you could go watch the 15-minute TED Talk. It's a very famous one, so just Google that, you will find it very easy, and you won't regret it because it's a very powerful and inspiring 15-minute talk. The idea is very simple, but it's super inspiring, and actually it guided us with Tadan last year for sure. Yeah, this is the best advice I could give.
Yeah, it's the number one book, isn't it? For anyone to take Friday off and read that, it has to be a good idea. Okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I would mention for sure the email marketing channel. And secondly, if you have the chance to do something that is offline, take it.
Yeah, I'm seconding those as well. This is good. Really good tips. Okay, the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So there are many I'd like to mention, but for sure, one very simple one that the team as a whole can do without is Slack. It's just a messaging tool, very organized and divided into threads. And that really helps us making the conversation quicker, easier, more efficient. And, you know, you can give immediate feedbacks from there. Really changed the way we were working from a very previous stage where we were just maybe sending emails or WhatsApp. That's not really efficient. Slack really helped us.
Yeah, so many businesses love Slack. The carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce business?
I'd like to think Tadan has a pretty strong social impact. So more than the environmental side, I like to mention that one. I think that happens on two sides, both the consumers. So our customers are educated customers that are buying less but better. And, you know, products that are slow made and consciously made by our artisans that are our suppliers. So they engage in sustainability practices, first of all, because they don't overproduce. And then most of them are very, very interested into the sustainability topic, and they care a lot for the materials they use, where they source them out. And also many of them are working with upcycling or recycled materials. So also by choosing the suppliers, we are definitely doing our step towards sustainability. But yeah, what's for real is the social impact that we can have towards the artisans and the small communities.
I love that answer. Thank you so much for that one. Now, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Sure. So you can find us on tadan.com, is T-A-D-A-A-N, or on social media as Real Tadan. Yeah, that's us.
And I believe you've got a special code for the listeners as well for a little bit of a discount.
Yes, I do. So I would like to offer you a 15% off on tadan.com, and the code is MASTERPLAN.
So that's it, everybody. 15% off buying better but less at Tadan. And that's T-A-D-A-A-N is how we're spelling that. And 15% off with the code MASTERPLAN. Easy to remember. Costanza, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Mastermind podcast. It's been lovely chatting with you and learning more about your business. So thank you so much for coming along and joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was very fun.
Lovely to learn how they're doing so many cool things at Tadan. I really love the focus that they have and how they're building kind of on their vision and then pivoting into e-commerce, but then doing it in a really kind of tried and tested way to see how it's all going to work before then rolling out to a bigger, better website. And I have to say their products and what they're doing is beautiful. And I challenge you to go on the site and not immediately want to start adding things to your basket. Really fascinating business. I am really interested to see how they grow over the next few years because they've gone bang quite quickly off the mark there. Love that focus on the different elements of PR, and you can kind of on sort of different elements of marketing, and you can see how that all stacks up with that core competency in content and mission and story and those elements they're all bringing together there. So love that chat there. You can get our notes on that chat, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. Or use our direct episode short links. That's ecmp.info/the number of this episode. Put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then why not check out some of our other startup episodes? You'll find them at ecmp.info/startup, strangely enough. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help you to succeed and thrive with your business, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it? You don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline.